Well, today is week three of our message series, Guess Who's Coming? And we're looking at the different people that were involved in the Christmas story and the miraculous way they were there and how it applies to our lives. If you have a Bible, I'll ask you to turn to Luke chapter 2. While you're turning to Luke chapter 2, I want to share with you a totally different passage, though. So if you'll turn to Luke chapter 2 in your Bible or your phone, your iPad, whatever you're using this morning. And while you're turning, though, I want to share a passage that we looked at in our Sunday school small group this morning. And it's a reminder to me how we can be so focused on speaking of the miraculous way Jesus came to earth the first time that we can forget he's coming again. Amen? He's coming again. And when he comes again, it will not be as a baby that needs to be protected by its mother and father. It will not come, he will not come again as one who could face the difficulties of life that you and I have faced. He will not come as one who will be sent to the cross. He will not come as one who will be beaten or spat upon. No one will pluck his beard. No one will pull his hair. No one will put a stripe upon his back again. See, the scripture says this in Revelation chapter 19. I want to read to you. You stay in Luke chapter 2. Revelation chapter 19. Remember, the same one we're about to read about, the same one who came as a baby in the form of a baby. This is the one who's coming again. Then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like flames of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. This is Jesus. It says in verse 14, and the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. And from his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, his name is written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Listen, I want you to catch a glimpse of the one who is coming again. We celebrate a babe in a manger, and we celebrate the miraculous way God brought new life. But don't dare miss the significance of this. If it weren't for Christmas, there'd be no Easter. If it weren't for Easter, there'd be no hope. And so the hope comes from the fact that Jesus not only came, but he is coming again. And so with that in mind, let's celebrate the Christmas story one more time together from Luke chapter 2. Now, I have to tell you, as we begin this morning, this time next week, Christmas is going to be over. What we celebrate as a season will be finished. Unwrapped gifts will have been returned. Many fragile toys you get your children will already be broken. We've had it at our house multiple times. Wrapping paper shrapnel will be on its way to the recycling or the landfill, depending on if you're, you know, a good person or not, which place you send it. That extra piece of pie and those Christmas calories will have been transformed to an extra pound on the scale if you get on it on Wednesday. My suggestion to you as a pastor, listen to me, friends, don't get on the scale on Wednesday, okay? I won't if you won't. And I'll be starting my countdown to Christmas 2019. By the way, it's 367 days from today. All of this, we have been anticipating all of the little children and me, people like me, who have been waiting and waiting for Christmas to get here. Those of us, we call ourselves Christmas enthusiasts. Well, it's going to come and go so quickly. As a child, I learned that Christmas was really all about waiting, wasn't it? I wrote down a few things. We waited for the last day of school to arrive. We waited for Santa Claus to show up at the mall. He used to come in late November. Now he comes in like September. It's crazy. We waited in long lines to get our picture made. And we may have cried a time or two when we had that picture made. We waited for the first holiday commercials to show on TV. Did you have a favorite TV commercial? I did. Mine was in the late 70s. It was the Coke commercial. I'd like to buy the world. Y'all know, anybody remember that commercial? We won't sing it, but anyway, I loved it. But you may have a favorite holiday commercial you can remember. We love to see those things on TV. We waited for Charlie Brown Christmas to air on CBS like it did every year, one night, one time. We waited for Christmas cookies to finish baking. We waited for the craft ornaments to finish drying as we were making them. We waited for meals to be finished so we could open gifts. And we waited for the sun to come up on Christmas Day so our parents wouldn't be mad at us when it was time to get up and look at the presents. And we waited. We waited. And over the past few weeks, we've been looking at some of the unlikely characters who were invited into Jesus' family Christmas. We looked at Ruth. We looked at the shepherds and the magi. And today we're going to see two more characters, but these two characters are best described with the word waiting. These two characters, their entire understanding of what we see of them in the scripture was they were waiting on the Messiah. They were both well described by this idea. Who are they? Simeon and Anna. Two of my favorite characters in all of the scripture. Simeon and Anna, and really, I'll be honest with you, you may say, well, haven't you taught about them a lot at Christmas? I try to teach about Simeon and Anna at least once each Christmas season. And the reason is because I think their story and how they fit into the Christmas story is so significant for you and for me. They teach us so much about Jesus and about how he came to earth and why he came to earth. You see, there was a time when God's people did not see God at work. They had been waiting and waiting for God to show up. It's the 400 years we know as the silent years between the last book of the Old Testament and the first book of the New Testament. And in this 400 years, many of the people of God had given up. They thought, he's not going to speak to us again. Or where is God? Where is Yahweh in the midst of our struggles? When is the Messiah going to show up? And so it's been 400 years since God had spoken through the prophets. And in this time, they were patiently waiting, some and others not so patient. One of my favorite Christmas songs, I believe it's on docket to sing maybe tomorrow night or sometime. So we're singing it at some point. Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. It's a beautiful song. We'll put the verse on the screen here for you to see. If you know it, sing it with me, just this first verse. Come thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sins, release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art. Dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. I love the next verse. Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever, now thy precious kingdom bring. Be thine all eternal spirit, rule in all our hearts alone. By thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne. I love that song because it speaks that they were waiting. They were expecting him. And then what he would do for them. They didn't know him by name. They didn't know the name Jesus. But they knew the Messiah was coming. So the Holy Spirit revealed to a man named Simeon that he was not going to see death until he had seen the birth of the Messiah. So Simeon, like most other Jewish people, had been waiting a long time for him to come. Luke chapter 2, verse 21. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, that's Jesus, He was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Verse 22. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, set apart to the Lord. Verse 24. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said by the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, verse 28, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel. Verse 33, and his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul too, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. I love this passage. Simeon waiting. Now remember, the Holy Spirit had not yet been given to all men. Jesus had just been born 8 days before. And it wasn't until after his resurrection that the Holy Spirit was imparted to all those who believe in Jesus. At this point in the Old Testament, we see over and over again where the Holy Spirit would rest on an individual for a short amount of time for a specific purpose, and then would come off of them and they would go about their business. We see it multiple times in the Old Testament. So here, the Holy Spirit has moved in Simeon's life, and it was a very special moment that most Old Testament believers never experienced, but Simeon did. So he has the Holy Spirit there in him, leading him to go to the temple to wait for the Messiah. But now that we have the Holy Spirit, I want you to understand something, that though Simeon waited with the Holy Spirit, some of your most precious time with the Holy Spirit will be in times of waiting. I have learned in my own life that the Holy Spirit at work in me, the Holy Spirit comforting me, the Holy Spirit leading me, that often some of those most precious times or when I have been in my own period of waiting, just like Simeon was waiting for the Messiah. Can I ask you this morning here in this room, those in the venue, what are you waiting on now? What are you waiting on today? Some of us here today, maybe you're waiting for God to grant you a child. For others, maybe you're waiting for God to grant you a job. For others, a spouse. Some in this room, you're in need of physical healing. Others, maybe it's just deliverance from a circumstance. Maybe it's peace in your heart or in your life. Or maybe you're just waiting to be reunited with the loved one that's gone on before, and this time of year is so difficult for you to be separated from them. You see, we all must wait at one time or another. There's lots of biblical examples of people waiting. I'll name a few really quickly. Abraham and Sarah waited for Isaac to be born. And then finally, when Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90 years old, God gave them their son Isaac. And though through years of patiently waiting, they received the promise of God. And Hebrews 6:15 says this of Abraham, and so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. He had to wait. Then there's Joseph in the Old Testament. Joseph waited for his time in power. Joseph waited in prison for 2 years for the cupbearer to remember that he was stuck in prison. And then he waited 20 years to see God's promise completely fulfilled. Joseph knew what it meant to wait. What about Nehemiah? Nehemiah waited and prayed for 4 months before God told him he could approach the king to ask permission to rebuild the temple, in the wall, in Jerusalem. Then there's David, King David. David was anointed king, but do you remember what happened as soon as he was anointed? He went back to shepherding sheep. David had to wait as a shepherd for many years, even though he had been anointed king. He had to wait and continue to be a shepherd before he would be able to truly occupy the throne and be the man God had called him to be. How about Jesus? Jesus waited for the time to be fulfilled when he would give his life. Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha waited for Jesus to arrive when Lazarus had died. The disciples, they waited in the upper room for the promised Holy Spirit and for some form of hope that would just come to them when they couldn't understand what they were doing. And what about all believers? We all are awaiting his return. What I read to you in Revelation chapter 19, that's an example of what you and I are waiting for. We're waiting for the day that Jesus returns. We're waiting for the day that he rescues the church from this planet. And then we're waiting for the time when he will return with us to conquer Satan once and for all time. There are so many things that we find ourselves waiting for. And I would say to you, as friends this morning, if you have to wait, please view your times of waiting as preparation. Each of these people I mentioned, in their time of waiting, God used it to prepare them to be the man and woman he had called them to be and was about to use them to be. And the same is true in your life and mine. So whatever you're waiting for today, can I encourage you, don't just think of it as I'm needing God to come through. Think of it that God is preparing you. He's allowing you and molding you to be the man and woman of his choosing. He's making you into the man and woman on the scene that you're going to need to be when he lets you step into whatever it is you're waiting on. You see, here in America, we want things very quickly. We live in a very instant society, don't we? Popular right now, these new things, fairly new. We consider them new because they're so popular. Instapots and all that. People cook with those. We have Instapots. You can go to Walmart today or Foodland and buy minute rice and it'll cook very quickly. You can microwave food and it'll cook very quickly. You can go to a fast food restaurant and if it takes you more than 3 minutes to get your food, you get upset. We get things very quickly. It takes 10 minutes to get your oil changed. You can have a car wash done in 3 or 4 minutes. There's a pizza waiting on you right now at some stores here in town. You just go by and pick it up. You can get glasses made in an hour, on and on. We are used to things happening so quickly in life. But we have forgotten that God often says one of his greatest tools is a time of waiting. He will use it in our lives. I found this a few years back and I shared it with the church and it's true. Someone said this, it takes 1 year to make an acorn, and it takes 100 years to make a mighty oak tree. So do you want to be an oak tree or a nut? Some of y'all, never mind, but the truth is, you got to determine, some things are worth the wait. It takes time, it's not the same quick process. So this Christmas season, what does God have you waiting on? Whatever it is, serve him while you wait. Prepare for victory while you wait. Honor him with your life while you wait. Embrace intimacy with him while you wait. Be about the things he's called you to do. There are so many people that will say to me, Chris, how do I find God's specific will in this circumstance? And they'll name some circumstance. And I almost always come back with the same reply. I can't tell you what God's will is for that circumstance, but I can tell you what God's will is. Just open God's word. Be the person he's called you to be. Be faithful. Be true. Be holy. Be set apart. Be the one who shares the gospel. Be the one who lives in season and out of season for the Lord. You see, God's will is more about being than doing. And so we can get so stuck in wanting God to tell us, please, what's the next step to take when he says, I have given you so many steps to live out in my word. So simply, we can all take the next step of learning while we're waiting for the next step. We can begin to live out what he is doing in our lives. So Simeon shows us as he waited that God was preparing him as he worshiped to be able to call upon and speak truth about this Messiah. Simeon taught us that waiting is okay, but he also teaches us this, that hope was born some 2,000 years ago, just about 6 miles outside of Jerusalem in a small town called Bethlehem. It was not just hope for the line of King David, though it was hope for that. It was not just hope for Jewish people. It was hope for the entire world. Simeon, as far as I can tell, was the first person to fully understand that Jesus came not just to die for the Jews, but for everyone. That he came to give new life to all of us. And so the two truths we learn from him, if you're writing things down, are these. Number one, the Holy Spirit led Simeon to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is still the one who leads people to Jesus. And if you're saved, the Holy Spirit drew you to God. Never forget that your salvation was more than just, I desire to know God. Your salvation was more than you just hit rock bottom and you turned to God for help. Your salvation was more than you deciding to turn over a new leaf. Your salvation is new life. And it's new life that was given to you and initiated by God, the Holy Spirit himself. If you're a follower of Jesus today, no matter how bad life gets, please hear me say this. God chose you. God initiated your salvation. No matter how far you fall, the Holy Spirit miraculously drew you to God. Celebrate that this Christmas. Celebrate that the great gift giver is still drawing men and women to himself. And once Jesus saved you, then he sealed you by the Holy Spirit, and you have been empowered by the Holy Spirit to be able to share the truth of the Holy Spirit with other believers. So my question to you this morning is this. Who in life showed you a true picture of Jesus and his grace? Someone, think back to when you gave your life to Jesus, those that know him. When you came to know the Lord, somebody showed you a picture of Jesus and someone showed you a picture of his grace. Who was it? Was it your parents? Was it a coworker? Was it a teacher? A friend? A spouse? Somebody led the way for you. And so can I encourage you on this Christmas Eve, that you need to lead the way for someone else? You see, the truth is, the Holy Spirit is the one who leads us to him. But then the Holy Spirit in you, God uses you to lead others to him. God wants the world to know him. Look at verse 30 again of this passage. He says, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." He says it right there. God did not just come for the glory of the people Israel. He came as a light for revelation to the Gentiles as well. Now, if you've not been in church circles very long, you may struggle to know, how do you know exactly what was meant by Jew and what was meant by Gentile? Well, if you'll take out any dictionary or you'll take out your phone and Google or ask Siri to tell you, if you'll look at what the definition, I did it yesterday, the first definition in the dictionary of what Gentile means, it's simply this, two words, not Jewish. It's just that simple. So you want to know if you're a Gentile, are you Jewish? If you are not Jewish, you're a Gentile. And the scripture says that he came to be a light for revelation to you and to me. Jesus came for all of us. Salvation is for everyone. That means he came for poor people and rich people, smart people, not so smart people, Caucasian people, ethnic people, nice people, mean people, all people. That guy you cut off in traffic yesterday, Jesus came for him. Man, I didn't want to know that. The rude cashier at the big box store because it's so crowded with thousands of people, Jesus came for them. That former friend who betrayed your trust, Jesus came for them. That Muslim man who's desperately trying to work his way to God right now, Jesus came for him. That person in Central Asia who's never heard the name Jesus, Jesus came for them. He wants them to know him. But herein lies the problem, and this is where we're headed. Jesus' Christmas story is really all about steps of faith. Ruth, a few weeks ago, had to take steps of faith to follow Naomi if she was going to be grafted into the bloodline of Jesus. Joseph and Mary, they had to take steps of faith. Mary had to take a step of faith that she would be the one to carry the Son of God in her womb. Joseph had to take a step of faith that he did not see Mary put away or killed because of what seemed to be a great immorality in her life. They took steps of faith to believe the angels that spoke to them. Then there were the shepherds we looked at last week. The shepherds had to take steps of faith because they obeyed what the angel said. They give glory to the Lord. The Magi, those wise men, they had to take huge steps of faith that cost them a couple of years of their life to follow that star, to do the very thing that God was calling them to do. Simeon had to take a step of faith to go and wait in the temple day after day, waiting for the time that he would see the Messiah and listening to the Spirit's voice as he spoke to him and said, "This is the one." Then to go and just say, "May I hold your child?" and to take that child and to bless him. Step of faith. It takes a step of faith to be added into Jesus' Christmas story. And so not only do we see it in here with these people, but there's one more person really quickly, a couple of verses we'll look at, and that's Anna. She's in the next few verses, Luke chapter 2, verse 36. Would you look there? It says this, "And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and praying night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem." So here's Anna. What was her step of faith? She knew that she would see the Lord's Christ, and so she never left the temple night or day. She fasted and prayed, waiting on the Lord. She was diligent to worship, fast, and pray. What I would say to you this morning, that worship, fasting, and praying will always set you up to be used by God. It's the truth. You can take that to the bank. Worshiping, fasting, and praying is always going to set you up to be in the right place at the right time to be used by God. It helps to position us to be used to give God the glory that he is due. So what I would say to us today is this: steps of faith are still required for you and for me. You see, your life and my life, it is part of Jesus' Christmas story also. God calls each and every believer to take steps of faith that lead others to him. Simeon and Anna, they're not the only ones who get to declare the Messiah. Did you know you and I have the same privilege as well? Now, we don't get to hold Jesus as a baby in our arms, but oh, we get to, by the power of the Holy Spirit, speak the truth of who Jesus is to those around us. We can declare him just the same. So let me ask you this morning, who in your life needs Jesus today? Who in your life needs to discover the glory of God today? You see, Anna and Simeon got to be a part of a Christmas miracle because they waited patiently, they followed the Holy Spirit's lead, and they spoke truth when they were given the opportunity. Friend, what I would say to you today is you've got friends and family who need Jesus. I have friends, family, neighbors that need Jesus. Can I encourage you to be their Christmas miracle today? Share Jesus with them. What's the next step for you? When we read about Anna and Simeon and we think, how do I apply this to my life? What is the next step for you? Well, first of all, for some, you're in a period of waiting. And you're not so sure that your waiting is going to end in the same excitement and joy that it did for Anna and for Simeon. But what I would say to you is this: the very God who has you waiting, the very God who is preparing you for whatever's next in your life, that God is already there whenever the next is going to begin. And God himself knows how you're going to be able to give him glory. So don't for a moment think that your time of waiting, your time of wandering in the desert, your time of difficulty is somehow not being used of God. He's preparing you into the man and woman he's called you to be. There are others who are watching you even now, and you can give glory to the Lord. So I want to challenge you, if you're in a time of waiting, friend, just like Anna and Simeon, continue to be obedient. Do the things God's word tells you to do. Worship, pray, live the life he's called you to. Be a blessing to others. Speak with your mouth open wide about the grace of who he is to others. And God will use you for his glory at the perfect moment. But for others of us, if we think about what the next step for us is today, I would say this: if you want to be a part of Jesus' family Christmas, you've got to take a step of faith. So first of all, if you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus, the step of faith you have to take is you have to receive his free gift of salvation. You see, he doesn't force himself upon you. You've got to receive the gift of God in your life. So if you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus, in just a few moments, I'm going to be standing right down here when we sing a song in this room. And Stephen will be standing right down front in the venue when we sing a song in that room. And if you need to give your life to Jesus, would you come to me or come to him and simply say, I need to take a step of faith. I need Jesus. We'll share with you how you can give your life to him. We'll share with you how God can move in your life. But for others of us, you have Jesus in your life. So the step of faith that you need to take maybe is this. It is simply saying yes to the Holy Spirit, that you will follow the Holy Spirit. You will follow the Holy Spirit in your times of waiting. You'll be obedient to what God's word says. You will be a student of the word of God so that you can be preparing yourself for whatever lies ahead for you in the journey. And then lastly, maybe it's simply this, that God would say to you, let others see Jesus in you. That we could be like Simeon to declare his glory. That we could be like Anna to declare his glory. That we too can declare his glory. Would you pray with me? Your head's bowed, eyes closed for a little privacy. Is there anyone here who says, I need Jesus? My step of faith is I need to submit to Jesus. I need a relationship with him. If that's you, I'm not going to embarrass you or point you out. I just want to pray for you. That's all I'm going to do. I will invite you to come in a moment and let me talk with you. But for now, I just want to pray with you. If that's you, and you say, I need Jesus, with no one looking around, would you just hold your hand up real high and I'll pray for you. Okay, for others in this room, maybe for you today's the day that you have been in some pattern of waiting. And maybe it's been a difficult time for you and you've not seen the good in it. You've not seen how God could possibly be attentive or interested in what's going on in your life. I would remind you today of all of those people in Scripture we mentioned who went through a time of waiting, some much longer than yours maybe. And in the middle of their waiting, how God used them in power. Prepared them to be used of him in a mighty way. I pray the same is true in your life. Maybe you want to come and get on your knees for a moment and just say, God, I commit this time of waiting to you. While I'm waiting, I will worship you. While I'm waiting, I will serve you. While I'm waiting, I will get to know you more and I will be the person you've called me to be. Then lastly, maybe for some in this room, it's simply this. As we move here to a time where you'll begin to gather with family and friends over the next few days. Maybe there's someone you know that God would have you share the gospel with. Listen, friend, this is the year. Be bold. God has set you up in the right circumstance and place that you may declare his glory. So be obedient to do so, please. Maybe you want to pray about that. Maybe God's calling you to unite with our faith family. Whatever God is saying to you, would you be obedient now? Father God, as we sing this song, Take My Life, Let It Be, I pray that would be our prayer, that you would take our lives and use us for your kingdom. We pray this in the name of Jesus.